It is the afternoon of February 26th. Spring training is about to begin. I can't wait. I'm sure Roy Smalley can't wait. Let's talk about it with Roy here on Roy Smalley's Chin Music, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all the shows as they're released. You can see all the sports and outdoor content at TalkNorth.com. Wherever you listen to us, rate us. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. And thanks to our sponsors, Manscaped, Kinetico, Minnesota Propane Association, and Kowalski's. So we're beginning spring training, and it is not a shock to me that there's already been a little bit of bad luck for the Minnesota Twins. Royce Lewis slips on ice in Texas. I lived in Texas a long time. I never slipped on any ice. And you worked in Texas for a while too, Roy. He tears the ACL. He is going to be out basically for the year. I don't want to overreact to this. How bad a deal is this for him and for the Twins? Or is this just, you know, setting him a few months back?
Well, I think it's, I mean, I'm trying not to make a big deal out of it. Guys get hurt and they get over it, you know, and they move on. But for a young potential star, for a young guy that's going to be a big league player, you know, to miss a season when he was going to go out and try to prove some things to himself and to the big club in the minor leagues. I mean, I'm just really sad for him. I really am. I mean, I do feel terrible. And it's a terrible thing. I'm just going to say it. It's a terrible break. It really is. So then once you say that, then you say, okay, you have to make the best of it, you know, and all of the things that you're supposed to say, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And, you know, all that, use this as an opportunity and all that kind of stuff. And those are the important things, but this is a really bad break for him and for the Twins.
Did you have any serious injuries when you were coming up to the minors or in the big leagues?
Yeah. So I stayed relatively injury free through my big league career, but getting there was tough. I had sat out the fall semester of my senior year at USC to make myself eligible for the January free agent draft, because I wasn't old enough to be drafted in June as a completing my junior year back in the day. And I don't know what the rules are now, but we may have talked about this before. But once you entered a 4-year school, you couldn't sign, you couldn't get drafted until you were 21 or until your class graduated. And so most everybody was 21 by June of their junior year, but I wasn't. I was young, going through school, and my birthday not until October. So I had to make myself eligible for the January draft. And it's kind of funny, the machinations that you go through. Sorry, this is a digression, but
no, it's good.
But you had to pass 24 credits in between seasons, including a baseball season, to be eligible for the following season. So in other words, I had to pass 24 credits my junior baseball season and my senior fall semester to be eligible for my senior baseball season. And I wanted to be eligible for the January draft, and I wanted to be able to have some leverage to, if I didn't like the offer, I could, you know, be eligible to go back to school and say, no, I'm not taking that. I'll just go back to school. I didn't want to be in a no leverage situation. So I took 16 credits my junior baseball season. I went to Boulder, Colorado and played semi-pro ball and took at night. And during the day, I took 8 credits at the University of Colorado at Boulder. So I passed my 24 college credits and I could sit out declare myself eligible, sit out. You had to be out of school for 3 months to be eligible for the January draft. So I declared myself out of school, declared my eligibility for the January draft. And, you know, that's how I got drafted. So I was working as a shipping and receiving clerk in a warehouse, living at the beach in Manhattan Beach and kind of loving life and waiting to see what would happen with the draft. And the Texas Ranger scout called me up and said, we're going to draft you number one. And we've got the first pick in the country and we're going to take you. And the last thing that we have to do is our scouting director, a fellow by the name of Hal Keller, has never seen you play. He just wants to, or the head of all the farm system wants to see you play, just as a matter of course before we draft you. And so he said there's a Saturday league that you used to play in. Do you want to go out there and play this one game? Cause he'll be in town. And I hadn't played, all winter long. This was in December, I think. And I went out my first at bat in this game. I'm playing only because what I just mentioned, guy throws me a slider down and in, and I crack down on it and the knob of the bat pressed up against the heel of my hand, and it broke the hook of the hamate bone. They drafted me in January anyway. Then in February, I had surgery to repair the fracture, and had to recover. And then the season started, and I had like a week of spring training. I went to Pittsfield, Massachusetts in AA and played the first half of the season. That cold weather taped, the trainer there was putting hot stuff on it and wrapping it up and doing the best we could. And finally, the adhesions and the strength came back about June. I played the rest of the season okay. I hadn't even gotten started yet and broke my hand. And then at the end of that season, I went to instructional league in Florida and got hit on a double play one day and blew out my kneecap, tore the patellar ligament, so right off the bone on my knee, which required, so I went home in November, had surgery. The famous Dr. Job LA did the surgery. And then it was big time rehab again, but I did make it to spring training and I was relatively healthy the rest of my time. I never went on the disabled list. One story about the disabled list is not going on the disabled list is I hadn't been traded very long. It hadn't been long since I'd been traded to the Twins from Texas in 1976, and we were playing in Baltimore, and I was on second base, and they tried to pick me off, and went head first dive into second base. And Bobby Gritch was the second baseman. He was notorious for this, and I didn't know about it at the time. But he got there and put his knee and whole thigh down in front of the base. And with all my weight going at the base in the air, I hit his leg with my little finger, and my little finger just of my right hand just accordioned. And I looked down, and it looked like a jagged lightning bolt, it startled me so much. I just grabbed it. And when I grabbed it, I popped it back in, and I thought, and then, the pain kind of subsided a little bit. And I thought, well, that was, I'm glad I don't have to, have somebody else, fix that. And then I felt something warm on my other hand. I turned it over, and I was bleeding pretty profusely. I looked down, and I could see the bone had come through the skin and ripped a big hole in my finger. And so when I popped it back in, I could still see down in there in the bone and the little tendons and stuff in my finger. They took me to a hand surgeon in Baltimore, while they finished up the game, he looked at it and he said, you popped, I told him what happened. He said, you popped this back in, didn't you? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I really wish you hadn't done that. He said, I said, why not? And he said, well, now I'm going to have to dislocate it again to clean it all out. So fortunately, he had some good stuff in a needle that numbed me up. But it was weird listening to the sound of him dislocating it to clean it out and then putting it back together. When we got back, and we went from there to Cleveland, and they played three games, and we got back to Minnesota. When I got there the fourth or fifth day afterwards, Mark came up to me and said, it was 15-day disabled list, then. And he said, I don't want to put you on the 15-day disabled list. I can't be without you that long. I want you ready before that. I'm not putting you on the list. So 10 days out, a few days later, a little less than a week later, I taped my ring finger and little finger together and put a bunch of foam rubber around the bat and go get them. You know, so that was the closest, I guess. I guess it was arguable that I could have, should have gone on the DL after that injury. Those things happened, but I didn't. And then mainly because it was Mock, and he said, I'm out. And so I played. But anyway, those three things happened in relatively rapid succession. And then I was, other than my back giving me some trouble every once in a while, I was pretty healthy the rest of the way.
Well, I have some follow-up thoughts on Roy and Royce Lewis and Kirilloff. Do want to thank Manscaped. I've been using it for weeks now. It's called Lawnmower 3.0. It's their newest device. It's male grooming. It's very comfortable, very easy. If it wasn't, I wouldn't use it. Manscaped.com. Use the promo code ATHLETIC for 20% off and free shipping. We also want to thank Kinetico Home Water Services.
Hey, this is Michael Russo from over at the Worst Seats in the House podcast.
Do you ever find yourself neglecting your heating and cooling systems? What about your water treatment system? My friends over at Aquarius Home Services and Kinetico offer convenient and cost-saving customer care plans that will leave you worry-free and give you peace of mind in your home. They make maintaining your equipment easy, offering great plans for your water treatment and heating and cooling systems. You don't have to worry about lugging bags of salt or when to get your furnace or AC tune-up. Aquarius just takes care of it all for you. I learned this the other day. They call you to schedule when you are due to have your service completed. It couldn't be easier. So visit AquariusHomeServices.com for more details. And also, here is a message from my personal State Farm agent, Tony Hoagland.
Everything you just described, Roy, is why I hate the phrase injury prone. Because, you know, if you take care of yourself in baseball, so many of the injuries are just kind of random.
They're totally random. And you just never... You never know. There's no rhyme or reason. You know, when you're playing, you know, a sport at that level, you know, any level, but it just in the big leagues, you're playing every day, and playing against elite other players, and you know, doing the, you know, striving your utmost to be as good as you can be, and as is everybody, and as a result of that, you know, the competition of this stuff just happens, and you know, I don't think I never considered myself injury prone. I considered myself a little unlucky to, you know, start out that way. But you know, back to my original point about Royce Lewis. You know, I never thought anything other than, okay, I'm going to get over this. I'm going to get over quick, more, you know, more quickly than, you know, than anybody expects me to. I got to get on with things. And that's, you know, that's just the attitude that, you know, that you have. So
with Kirilloff, there is now the possibility, we're hearing rumors about it. I'm sure the Twins don't really want to talk about it too much at this point. We're hearing rumors that because he doesn't have any service time, and if they don't have him on the opening day roster and he doesn't show up until, you know, late April or May, they get to maintain control of him for six seasons instead of losing a season this year. There's the possibility he won't be in the opening day roster, even though they intend him to be the regular left fielder. As a former player, former member of the union, but also somebody who understands management side, where do you come down on that decision, if that's the decision they make?
Well, if I'm a player, that would piss me off. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, I want to be in the big leagues, and I think I have hit my way to the big leagues and played my way to the big leagues, and evidenced by getting some time in the postseason last year right out of AAA, and so that would upset me no end. No, I do understand what the, you know, that's part of the, you know, that's part of the rule. It's part of the collective bargaining agreement, and it's things that clubs can do, and from their standpoint, you know, I get it. I really do. I'm not gonna be militant about how unfair that is. It's just the rule, and there are things that players can take advantage of, and things that clubs can take advantage of, and that's just the way it is. It doesn't stop me if I'm Kirilloff from, if this is what happens, doesn't stop me from being royally pissed off, but I get it.
Well, and that's the thing, is that fans are going to be very angry about it, and they're going to look at it as a measure of cheapness on the Twins. I don't look at it as so much as they're trying to save money, as they're trying to maintain control over a good young player for as long as possible. And again, would I like the rule? Would I like the Twins doing that? No, but I would understand it.
Well, that's the point. I mean, you get it, and it isn't about money at all. It's about control of the player, and you know, ultimately, I suppose that, you know, that is about money to some degree, but you know, it's in the scheme of things, it'll be a small price to pay. As mad as we as fans would be, as mad as he and other players would be about it, in the scheme of things, in, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, it's not going to be that big a deal to anybody, but to Alex potentially. And again, I feel bad for him in that sense, but that's the rule. And I don't mind anybody on any side taking advantage of the rule as written. The other part of this, though, is that a lot of this stuff gets settled out by performance. So if he goes to AAA with the right kind of attitude and is tearing it up, absolutely tearing it up down there, and whoever's playing left field is not, on the big league club is not, and they're not, you know, they're a little short on offense and defense in left field, let's say, then he might force their hand. It depends on how long, I don't know how many days, he has to be down there and stuff, but at some point in time, you have to put your best team on the field, and it's worth giving that a shot. But if it's to start the season, in the Twins' mind, I suppose. But if things are not going well in left field, then they might forsake their ability on that rule.
Right. Let's get more into spring training, some of your favorite spring training memories, and how you think this spring training is going to shape up. We do want to thank our sponsors, Minnesota Propane and Kowalski's, by the way. If you'd like to advertise with this show or the network, you can reach Karen Cleary, the former Twins executive at KCLEARY@talknorth.com. Thanks again to Minnesota Propane Association.
Hey, I'm Laura Shera, and did you know, according to the Environmental Protection Agency Energy Star program, that propane is almost 3 times more efficient than grid electricity? We all care about our planet, so let's use energy efficiently to reduce our environmental footprint. You can heat your homes, your water, your cabins, your businesses with propane. The right energy right now. Propane, clean American energy. For more information, go to propane.com.
And thanks also to Kowalski's. I know Anthony LaPanta loves Kowalski's.
Hi, it's Anthony LaPanta, play-by-play man for the Minnesota Wild and co-host of the Worst Seats in the House podcast. When not focused on hockey, I love to spend my free time in the kitchen. Before we prepare a great meal, I always like to get my supplies at Kowalski's. They're the best in the Twin Cities when it comes to fresh meat. Personally, I love the Akiyushi steak line. It's as good as you can get in the Twin Cities. I also love their fresh fish selection, and the knowledge behind the counter is second to none. It's a great spot for your fresh produce. It's always worth the trip wherever you are to get yourself to Kowalski's. When it's time to have a great meal, you might as well start with the best products. I do my shopping at Kowalski's, and I recommend you do too. It's Kowalski's, the joy of good food.
So did you love spring training, or was it just kind of a, I guess that's the question. Did you love spring training? I know as a writer, I love it. I don't know what a player's attitude about it is.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. My wife loved it. My kids loved it. there's nothing, I shouldn't say that. There's only one thing not to like as a player about spring training. And generally what happens is that the hitters are ready to go with a minimum of 10 days and sometimes 2 weeks left to go of spring training. And the games get a little bit old because you want them to mean something. You're ready to go. And, spring training, as is always said, is for pitchers. And you need the full, the full complement of days to get all the pitching arms in shape and make the pitching decisions that have to be made. But as an everyday player and somebody that's going to be, that's not struggling to make the club, with 10 days or 2 weeks left, you're looking around going, let's go. I mean, you love it in spring training, getting to spring training, because you go down. I mean, guys are making an awful lot of money now, and they can spend all winter in Florida, in Fort Myers if they want to, and if they don't live in warmer climes already, and they can work out with their strength coach and their nutrition coach, and all winter long. You know, when you're living in Minnesota and don't have the same, especially back when I played, I mean, there just weren't the same facilities to be able to do stuff. And so we would go down and check into a hotel or find an apartment someplace about, I don't know, 10 days before we had to be there, a week before we were supposed to report, just to get in the warm weather and start, and so I could start working out outside again. And so we all, my family and I loved it. It's like we couldn't wait for, you know, the first part of February to roll around and we'd get on down there. And then, as I say, we talked about this a little bit last week. I mean, it's as close to a 9-to-5 job as you're going to have as a baseball player. You're home with your family in the evening, and you know, you're playing during the day, and everything's great. And then you hit that hump, and, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks before the season starts, and you just want it to be over.
With this twin spring training, what are you going to be most interested in as far as roster developments or player developments?
Well, first and foremost is going to be rotation. It's all about pitching for the Twins this year, I think. No, it's not that. It's whether the guys that didn't have the best of 60-game seasons last year can bounce back and have what we think are more characteristic seasons at the plate. You know, that obviously is going to be important for Kepler and Buxton and Garver. Josh Donaldson being healthy all year, you know, those kinds of things. But before we even, you know, would think about that as much, I am really interested in Matt Shoemaker. And is he going to, you know, if he were to be able to regain the form that he had a couple of years ago before, speaking of random and stupid injuries, I mean, and stupid meaning, you know, unlucky. Ridiculous. And how did that happen? You know, kind of thing. If he can regain form, then boy, you're looking at four starters that have a chance to go out, and potentially a fifth with Jay Happ, and he's the other one I'm looking at. So I'm Shoemaker and Happ and Dobnik. Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last week, but there's three guys for two spots. And the other guy is, you know, either a long man for a while, or Dobnik goes down and tries to pitch his way back if somebody falters. But that makes a huge difference to go, you know, Maeda and Barrios and the big guy, and then Shoemaker is pitching well. Then all of a sudden, after Pineda, you've got Shoemaker, and man, now we got something. This club is kind of built. It doesn't have a Garrett Cole or a Strasburg or somebody like that, but it's full of guys that look like, you know, they're 4.5 ERA is going to be good enough for this club. Man, that's three runs every six innings, right? And if you got four guys or even five guys that are averaging, given their team six innings every time out, and they've only given up three runs, Twins are going to win a lot of those games because they can hit the way they can hit. So, you know, they're not going to throw a lot of 1-0 games, but they can win a lot of games 5-3 or 6-4. So that's the kind of staff I think we're looking at. If Shoemaker and Happ are, you know, any semblance of their former selves.
Yeah, Roy and I will start breaking down what we've seen in the games next week. The first game is on Sunday. I know I'm going to be watching it as much for the sunshine. I love watching golf and baseball when it's freezing up here. It warms the heart, if nothing else. You can find all of our shows at TalkNorth.com. We have Michael Russo, Cheryl Reeve, John Krasinski, Jeff Diamond, plus all of our outdoor content. We appreciate everyone who listens. And you can find all the shows at TalkNorth.com.